Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it today. Michael Rappaport, what up, man?
You say that for all the guests?
All the guests, man. Yeah, it's repetitive. People like it, but I mean it. I mean it.
I don't know if that's true.
I only say it if I really do like you. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't say it.
But you say it for all the guests.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. So today, I want to talk to Rap about a bunch of stuff, but let me start off. Let's start off hot. You got blocked by LeBron. LeBron blocked you this morning or last night?
Sometime in the last 24 hours, LeBron James blocked
on Twitter. Tell us why.
Well, I'm not sure why. I mean, listen. I love athletes. I love sports. I'm a humongous fan.
Yeah.
Now, whether I love your team,
right,
or root for you or not, I have nothing but respect for athletes. So, listen, Tom Brady, I could sit here and say he's a fucking this, he's a fucking that, but I also say he's the best quarterback ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not personal.
Right.
It's like...
it's just talking shit.
It's talking shit, and like, you know, it's like sports are like Avengers movies. Sports are like Batman and Robin. Sports are like classic good guys or bad guys, and you make whoever you want to be the good guy, and you make whoever you want to be the bad guy. Tom Brady is obviously, if you're not a Patriots fan, he's the perfect bad guy.
Right.
Whereas like Derek Jeter was also the perfect bad guy if you're not a Yankee fan. Or LeBron James is the perfect bad guy if you're not a whoever fucking team he's on. Kobe was a great bad guy. You're either rocking with him or not.
Right.
So why I got blocked by LeBron James? I mean, there's two things that happened with me and LeBron. There's three things. First, when I first met him, nice to meet you, sir. Big fan of yours, sir. All this shit. And then for some reason, before I got into the shit-talking sports media podcast, before podcasts were even popping,
right?
He was rude to my kids. He was rude to me when I was trying to introduce him to my kids.
Why, he like brushed him off?
He brushed him off. And it wasn't in a restaurant. It wasn't in a bathroom. It was blatant. I don't know. I've heard.
That's some mean ass shit.
And it was blatant. And it wasn't like he didn't. It was. They remember.
Set the scenario. Where were we at? Where was it?
At the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. So we were out where, like, you're out. It's for the kids.
Yeah,
Celebrity
for the
weekend
kids.
Is for the kids.
Yeah.
And I had seen him years, you know, for the first few years of career. Nice to meet you, sir. What's up, Mike? Big fan, all this shit. It's rude to my kids. And I was like, my kids' faces dropped. They don't ask for selfies. They don't ask for, they want a pound.
Just a little dap. That's it.
That's it. They've been around the NBA. I've been around the NBA for years. Never has this happened. So I was like, this motherfucker. And then, as a fan, the whole big three thing going to Miami, I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And then in 2007, but that was just for me as a fan. Because how can you not like LeBron, especially when he first came into the league? He's like the boy wonder.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been anything like that in so long. Someone that's so athletically dominant, more than a basketball player. He was just a fucking raw athlete.
And
we haven't
seen
that in forever.
No, and he was young, and the whole story was great. So then in 2017, we're in 2019. It was 2 years ago. It was Kevin Durant's first year with the Warriors. I was in Cleveland doing some stuff with the NBA because I've always had a relationship with the NBA. I've done stuff with the NBA, done stuff for the NBA, and I'm a humongous fan. 2017, I was at Game 3 in Cleveland, my first time in Cleveland. The Warriors were up 2-0.
Yep.
It was the third game. I was expecting them to sweep.
Sure.
Okay.
I think a lot of people were.
So because I was expecting a sweep and I was a guest in Cleveland, because I thought, well, if they're going to sweep, we have to clean up. I brought a broom to the game. And because, you know, like, I felt like I was being polite. Like,
right.
So I brought a broom to the game in Cleveland and Quick Loans Arena. And I had, you know, I was there with the NBA. And I was down courtside before the game. And, you know, by the time I went to my seat, which wasn't like very close seat, it was like sort of in the press area, I had gotten, my phone was blowing up from the NBA. Yo, you need to get rid of that fucking broom. They're filing a complaint. LeBron's camp has complained. Oh, I was like, oh, literally it was like 5 minutes after. It's like, oh shit, okay. I have this fucking gigantic broom. It's like, not like you could break it and throw it away. Because right. I went to a
janitor.
I went to a family-owned Cleveland hardware store because I wanted to support Cleveland business again. Because I was,
there you go.
I was a guest in Cleveland, right. and I wanted to, you know, and I got an oak wood. It was like, it wasn't like a shit broom. It was
no,
like
it wasn't
thick
a bullshit
wood.
Broom. You got
I couldn't
a real
break.
Fucking
yeah,
broom.
It was like right. real thick wood.
A man broom.
So anyway, ever since that incident, I've been on what was told to me as a no-fly zone with the NBA.
Right.
They blocked me. LeBron's camp. This is what it was told to me. Yo, they shut you down.
Right.
So I haven't done any NBA sanctioned shit since then. So because I still do sports stuff, and because I didn't like the Cleveland, they did wind up getting a gentleman sweep, and then of course last year they lost four yeah. games, and then they actually got the sweep. And all the other bullshit and the getting the coaches fired and all the fucking bullshit.
Right.
I talk my shit, and right. it's gotten more than just the way I talk my shit about Brady. But also, I talk a lot of, like, I'll give him props and all the respect for all the Trump shit, all the shit talking he does, and all the philanthropy and opening the school. Like, I'm not like crazy. It's
no,
not
no,
like blind.
You acknowledge it. You acknowledge
so,
it.
Anyway, one of his flunkies, as I call them, he said something to me on Twitter, and LeBron liked it.
Is this flunky anybody we know, or is it just some dude that's
one
around?
Of the guys that works at his company?
Sure.
And LeBron liked it.
Of course.
So on today's podcast, I gave the full, on today's I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, because, you know, podcasts are
yeah,
like assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's
yeah.
got one.
Yeah.
You should check
and
it out.
And they all stink like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, really gave the full Monty of right. my history with LeBron, and really, I call it my finest hour.
Right.
I think it was my finest shit-talking hour. So, somebody showed me, yo, you got blocked from LeBron.
Damn.
And I was like,
that's kind of dope though.
It's kind of dope.
That's acknowledgement from, you know, from one of the greatest basketball players to ever
pick
up a ball.
Listen, Andrew, I didn't come into this shit to make friends. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come into this to make friends.
No, you didn't.
I got enough friends.
Have you made a lot of enemies in the NBA at all? Or is
none.
This the first one?
This is the only, listen, I have no enemies in sports.
Sure.
I love the athletes. I fuck with the big three. I know a lot of players personally.
Right.
I'm a fan. And even people that I've talked shit about when I've run into them, they get it.
Because
it's not
know.
Personal.
Right.
Like, I'm talking shit, but the person who I talk shit the most about on social media and even in my stand-up is myself. Because you can't,
sure.
you can't talk shit without being able to take it.
Yeah. Who takes it the best, do you think? Who do you talk shit about that takes it the best? Like, the best talk shitting relationship that I see,
Julian Edelman.
Edelman takes it the best?
That's my guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he knows I don't fuck with the Patriots.
Right.
And he knows I can't stand the Patriots. And I used to, before I actually met him, I used to fucking get on him, and I used to call him the fake Rudy and all his bullshit. And we met, and he's just cool as shit. He totally gets it.
He gets it.
And, you know, we're friends now. And he came on my podcast, and I was like, I thought I was, like, I was a setup. Like, I thought I was going to be jumped or something.
He's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Who do you clown on secretly that you haven't gone public yet that you kind of want to, but he's too nice of a guy? Is there that guy? Because there's a few guys that everyone has you go, oh, I can't stand this shit about him.
Mm.
But I just don't want to, drown.
No,
him.
I think that if I could even do it in a friendly way.
Right.
You know, the shit talking with the sports, because it comes, listen, there, in this world, there's so few things where you could actually have love and hate.
Yeah.
Like, you love the Yankees, you right. hate the Red Sox. You're Chicago?
Chicago, yeah.
Right, so you know.
But I think you have to come from a metro area where sports are so dominant. We have a lot of similarities in that fact that, like, sports to me was always everything. It meant the fucking world to me. And I have a lot of hatred for certain teams just because you grew up hating them. Now, I meet kids from other cities, they don't have that kind of thing. It just didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, they disliked other squads,
yeah,
but
yeah.
they didn't give a fuck. But it, like, to us, being a Chicago kid, like the St. Louis Cardinals, I hope all of them die of horrible, horrible cancer. I don't give a fuck. I fucking loathe the Cardinals.
I don't even like baseball. I probably couldn't name five baseball players currently.
Oh, shit, I love baseball.
But one of my favorite probably my most favorite thing in sports is when the Red Sox lose.
Yeah,
to this day.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I don't even like baseball.
Right.
I couldn't even tell you who they're losing to or who fucked them.
Right. It's just a nice to see them lose.
But when the Boston Red Sox lose and baseball's like not even something I consider, it's a thrill.
Right.
Like,
right.
I love it.
Right.
Like, I get elation of it. And it's crazy because Boston sports is so successful, but they have no sense of humor about
right.
it.
Right.
Like,
right.
we get it. Tom Brady's the best. We're never going to see another run like this in NFL history.
No.
Why do you take it so... you got fucked a few times, twice by the Giants. You got fucked twice by the Giants. Just two times.
Two times. Yeah.
Just twice.
That's it.
You never beat us in a Super Bowl. We fucked you twice. But they it's like they lose sight of all the wins.
Yeah, they can't.
When I bring up the fucking.
Right.
Weird.
They're like people that read all the internet comments. You have 1,000 that like you and the one that talks shit, they only pay attention. The Patriots will only pay attention to the people that hate on them. They forget the fact that they're
so fucking
dominant.
Do they not love their
dominant.
Fans? Do they not listen to their fans?
They don't appreciate their fucking fans.
They
only want to hear the hate.
Right.
Right.
That's the only thing they acknowledge. Right. They live for it.
Yeah, they love that shit.
So anyway, so that's the LeBron thing.
Right.
And
you think he'll unblock you at any time or no? This is going to continue, you think, for a while. Until you do something public to make up for it? You think he's waiting for you?
There's no public. I've done enough in public.
Yeah.
I've already acknowledged all the great things. What the fuck? You know what's crazy about sports?
Yeah.
We could sit here and talk about, no, about LeBron. We could talk about Jeter. I understand why people would hate Jeter. Patriots fans understand why you would hate fucking Tom Brady. And Kobe, you understand why he was hated. But LeBron, if you talk shit about him, you're a hater.
Right. Why is that, you think?
Who the fuck knows?
You think it's because his image is so squeaky clean and other guys didn't have that?
I don't know what it is.
Because all those other guys you named didn't have... Kobe never had a squeaky clean image. Neither did Jeter. You know what I mean? And Brady...
Jeter had it. When he played, his image was...
Yeah, I know, but he had a lot of people helping him out to make sure that he stayed on the up and up.
But
you know
it
what I
was...
mean?
I'm saying when he played... Like, of course you're going to hate him. He's the best player on the best team. Get that shit.
He's a fucking vacuum. No one was better than him.
And he's good looking. He's fucking everything. Of course you're going to hate him. So I get that. But with LeBron, people are like, you're a hater. I'm like, fucking hater.
Because
he plays for the Cleveland fucking, the Browns. he played for the Miami Heat, like intrinsically as a New York Knicks fan. I'm never going to fuck with the Heat.
Right.
And then who the fuck likes Cleveland except for, you're from Chicago. I mean, this is a
yeah. We
a
don't
piss
like those,
hole.
We hate those motherfuckers. I mean, what we did to them in the World Series says everything to me. That was like one of the greatest things in the world. We don't really give a fuck about Ohio as a Chicagoan. It never really meant anything to us. I mean, forever, what was the Cavs? What were the Browns? They were nothing. There were no competition, right?
Nothing.
And now the Indians had a great run at becoming a great ball club. So we started to kind of shit on them and hate them, but they still aren't people that we give a fuck about. They're not our competition.
Not even acknowledged.
No,
like, and
no.
It's like you just know something's going to go wrong with this Cleveland Browns football team.
Sure.
Somehow, some way.
It has to.
Something's going to implode.
You think that, but people are talking big though. They think they're going to have a good year. You think it's going to be okay?
I think they'll be good.
They'll be far better than they have been. This will be the best year we've seen in a long time.
They're going to be good and they're going to be good.
Do you believe in the kid? Do you believe in him?
I think they're going to be, I think he's good. Because I'm from New York, I never considered Cleveland.
Right.
The only time Cleveland became a thing is when LeBron went back. Yeah. I rooted for them when he was there the first time.
Right.
But when he went back, because I was already done with him when he went to the Heat.
Yeah, Miami.
So the only reason why Cleveland became a thing, and when I did that broom, it didn't go over well afterwards. Like, it became like a whole thing. From the bottom of my heart, I didn't expect it to turn into a whole thing. It turned into a whole thing.
Yeah, but he's
and then
took
game
it too serious.
Game four, this I was proud of.
Yeah.
In Quicken Loans Arena, game four, that series of 2017, the announcer announced no brooms are to be allowed in the arena.
Because of your ass.
I was the only motherfucker who had a broom in game three. So. But, you know, whatever. It's the Browns. Listen, you want to see all the cities do well. You want to see, like, the shitholes, the Oklahoma cities do well. So if the Cleveland Browns, you know, you want to see them do well. I think that they're going to be competitive. I don't see them winning the Super Bowl this year, but they're going to be good if
they'll
stay healthy.
Really good. Do you support the Rams at all?
Yes.
You do, right?
Yes.
But you're not a Rams fan. You like them because this is LA's home.
I like them. I want to see them do good. I like Jared Goff. I like Todd Gurley. I don't have any animosity to them. And I think, you know, people don't have animosity or true love because they're so fucking new.
They're too new. Some of the OG LA guys that I talk to, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of they still have all this deep, their dad.
That Eric love, Dickerson the, shit.
Yes, man. And that, and that runs that. Thick, you know? Yeah. So for them, but that percentage, you're right, is very, very small.
It's the like majority the Chargers. Of people are not.
Well, dude, that's a tough story.
That's some bullshit.
That's a tough, tough story.
It's like the Brooklyn Nets.
I feel bad. Yeah.
You know, it's like we're developing fans, yeah. but the Brooklyn is 10 minutes away from the Garden, Madison Square Garden, and like most people in Brooklyn are Knicks fans.
Yeah.
So you're like, you
that's
know,
hard to do.
It's well, tough.
It's so tough for this city to not have the Raiders as the other team, I think. So, because half of the city still does love the Raiders.
Yeah.
And now that they get rid of them, it's kind of like, Chargers is a hard thing to throw on somebody. San Diego didn't fucking want them, and then they got mad when they got rid of them.
It's as if fucked
it,
up.
It was so stupid.
They should be in San Diego.
Yeah, they should.
I mean, I even make that mistake still. I mean, it's only, what, the second year? Or is it the first year?
Was
it
second, the, second year.
This
second.
Is going into the second year?
No, this
They is, did 2 years.
Two years, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I went to go watch, I have a...
In that little arena?
Yeah, in the it's a soccer field, is where they were.
Was it cool?
It was, well, listen, I got Travis Kelce, who plays on Kansas City. He's a buddy. And uh-huh. he was like, you got to come see me. You know,
how do you
I'll
know
leave
him?
You some tickets. We were going to work on this thing together in the sports comedy world.
Okay.
Yeah, so he said, I'll leave you some tickets. I said, okay, great, leave me some tickets. And I'm thinking, oh, this is Chargers. I go, I'm not going to, oh my God, they're not in San Diego. I'm going to a fucking soccer field. It was all red. All red. There was no fucking Charger
fan. And is it really
fan.
Small?
It like, was it's tiny, man. It felt like a D3 college football game. I mean, wow. It was tough. But every fan in there was Kansas City.
Wow.
No Charger fans.
It was fucked up when tough. I think it was this year when the Raiders, no, when the Rams played, I think it was Green Bay in their hometown. And there's more motherfuckers rooting for Green Bay in LA.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, I mean, whatever. But I mean, I like those. Like, I don't have teams that are really fucking, like the teams that like I fucking hate, and I'll never waver off that hate is the Patriots,
right?
The fucking Eagles,
Red Sox.
The Red Sox are my top.
Yeah, they're okay.
And the Cowboys.
Yeah, I get that. A lot of people hate the Cowboys. They're an easy team to hate.
Even my hate for the Boston Celtics has dilapidated over the years because of the way the league is structured. But watching them walk off the court the other day, it brought up great feelings.
Did I feel good for you?
Yeah, it caught me off guard too because I was like, I don't really give a fuck. It's Milwaukee. I want the Celtics. I like Kyrie. You know, I like
I love
these
Kyrie.
Players. But when I saw them walk off the court, it just brought a lot of joy back.
Well, let me talk about something else about in this same world. Joel Embiid cried, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the deal. A few people, I think it was it Rudy Gobert that he got trolled by the internet to see if he was going to talk shit. And he didn't. He didn't.
Yes.
Which I thought he didn't take a fun opportunity to have some fun. Instead, he goes, only a loser would say you're a bitch if you cry or whatever. And he didn't. He could have taken a fun shot. It could have been something fun. He could have fucked around.
Well, because he cried when he didn't make the
I know, but that's what I mean. He should have been like, you know what kind of men cry?
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he should have gone into something
funny. Yeah, that would
if he had a sense of fucking humor.
Yeah, he doesn't have a sense
no,
of humor.
No, but that's what sucks.
The thing about him, I don't have a problem with people crying in sports.
Of course not.
It's you're going to have, when you play game
emotional.
Seven, you're going to fucking,
come on, man. It's emotional as fuck.
That being said, and I will preface this by saying, I love all things Philadelphia.
Sure.
From the movie Rocky, which was the first movie I fell in love with, to Dr. J, who was my first superhero, to hip-hop in Philly, to the sound of Philadelphia music, to just the culture, to the food, to the people. Joel Embiid has been talking shit.
Yes.
He's been tweeting people.
Yep.
And I know he's sort of doing it with a sense of humor. He's been elbowing people. He called Jared Dudley inconsequential or irrelevant, which I don't like
irrelevant.
That word.
Yeah, he's irrelevant. Yeah.
And you're 7'3". You've played half the series sick because you have a bellyache.
Yeah, what are you gluten intolerant? What the fuck is this bellyache thing?
Get
so
the
weird.
Fuck off the court
the
and cry.
Out of here, dude.
Like, cry in the locker room. Get to the locker room. Recover yourself with a fucking towel.
Do the towel.
Get the fuck off the court and cry. You're the biggest guy in the league.
Yeah.
You're 7'3".
Yep.
No one wants to see a 7'3" shit-talking baby cry.
Right.
But make it to the locker room. And like, he's like, I mean, it's like, yo, you talked all that shit. Your first 3 or 4 years in the league, and now you're fucking crying.
Ryan.
Now's your time to get it back.
Right. Did you think when Kawhi hit that shot, did you think it was going in or no?
No.
I didn't either, man. It was so weird. I literally was standing next to the engineer here, Ari, and I'm sitting next to him, and I go, here's what's going to happen on this inbound play. There's going to be a high screen.
You called it like that?
I swear to God. He's my proof. I said, it's going to be a high screen. He's going to catch the ball and he's going to huck up a three and he's going to brick it. I said for sure that's going to happen. As I watched it come out of his hand.
I didn't think that far ahead. That's good.
I did, because I figured that there's no one else you want to get fouled in that situation anyway. There's no one as fast as him to come get the ball at the high end of the court. There's nobody else that can shoot that shot and has the confidence. So I thought, he's got to get the kid that's going to get the ball. But when he let it go, I thought, no fucking way is that going in.
And when it hit the bounce.
No way.
And it boom, boom,
no
boom.
No fucking way.
It was.
It blew my mind. I watched it maybe 10 different times thinking, I can't believe it got that soft of a bounce.
Soft. That first soft. Bounce was soft.
It was ridiculous. I've never seen a soft bounce off a three like that.
Yeah, it was.
That's when the sports gods, that's when I get in arguments with, you know, and we'll get into stand up and all this shit because I want to talk about a million things. But when stand up comics do this thing where they go, I don't like fucking sports. I've always loved sports, and I hate it when someone goes, when somebody says, I was more of a nerd when I was a kid. I was like, sports are the nerdiest fucking thing on earth. Would you really
true,
look at
that
it? They're
is
the
true.
Nerdiest fucking
and
thing on
earth.
And
all these athletes, all the best athletes, are the majority of them.
Yeah.
They're all nerds.
They're nerds for this thing, just because they're
Kobe
not nerds.
Kobe Bryant's a fucking basketball, it's as if he was a violinist.
Right. Right. That's the only thing that goes on, and his brain is consumed with it. That's, nerd culture is something you just in love with something. It doesn't have to be a fucking animated cartoon thing.
It's just because he looks
nerd.
Cool.
Right. He just looks dope.
The majority of them, I mean, there's dudes, there's different, but like Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Young star, great personality. He's going to be a fucking, Donovan Mitchell's like just such a good kid.
A good kid, yeah.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah, dork. Yeah, nerd. Like I think the more I become friends with athletes over the years and I sit down and get to know them, a lot of them are dorky dudes. You know, like a lot of them are kind of like nerd culture in the sense of—
No disrespect, Donovan.
No.
He knows what I'm talking about. He's a good.
No, they just, this is the thing that they love and they've honed it so deeply. It's the only thing that matters that like— It kind of it brushes away these other images we have of them. You know what I mean? That you're like, oh, dude, this is who you really are.
I agree.
This is who you really fucking are.
I agree.
Yeah, but
that was beautiful though. I mean, Kai, I had no real stake in that. That was incredible.
No, but it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was sheer. Like sports perfection. I mean, that I already smell the 30 for 30. You know what I mean? You already see all that
on
shit
the
in
moment,
the making. Yeah, dude.
On that
you
shot.
You see it in the making already. But I mean, that's what I love about, you know, that's what I love about everything, playoffs and coming down to the wire. It's when it's the most invigorating time. Now I know you don't give a fuck about the Bucks, but for some reason, being a Chicago kid, we have this semi love for them. Like we have a love for up north because, you know, Milwaukee's kind of been a competitor of ours, and as far as the Brewers go, Green Bay has always fucked us up. So Chicago, we don't like them, but we know how unbelievably dope they are. So it's hard.
The Packers.
Yeah, it's hard. Right. It's hard for us to like. Look, dude, you had two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time back to fucking back.
But
in the time that they had, we had 17 dog shit quarterbacks.
Does
my
Chicago
whole childhood.
Hate Green Bay? Intrinsically? Or no?
It's hard to say that. I would like to say that we just fucking are like, fuck them. It's that kind of thing. Like, I think our hate comes from a lot more jealousy. How about that? It's just way more jealousy than actual hate. It's just that we fucking...
That's very honest.
Because here's why.
Don't put me in that with the red side. We're not jealous.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But this is different because here's why.
That ain't jealousy.
Well, there's no Chicagoan that doesn't love... You're talking a blue-collar workman's culture. Brett Favre was a guy's guy.
Right.
He was hard to hate.
No, you can't hate him.
No, so that's what I mean. It was like... That was a guy when I was a kid, like how can I hate the cool guy that looks like he fucks and drinks
and hangs out.
Right? Aaron Rodgers is less of a guy's guy, but even
he's
still
ridiculous.
But he's phenomenal.
He's
right?
Stupid.
So as a kid, it was hard to hate them without the jealousy. You were like, I wish we had a dope quarterback. Instead, I had so much garbage as a kid growing up. I don't think I've had one quarterback that I've actually enjoyed watching until Trubisky now.
And you know, because you weren't how old, you weren't born with the mic.
I'm 35.
So how old was the Jim McMahon?
It was right when I was
you were like,
when,
you were
right
just
when I was
born.
Around. Yeah,
you were
when,
born
yeah.
that day. Of
that was
Super
the
Bowl.
End of that era. Was
okay.
the beginning of my life.
Okay, all right.
So I missed. I got you.
And the Walt, you didn't see Walter Payton. You understand him, but
I knew about it. And it
you
was,
didn't live through it.
No, I mean I lived through him. I lived through Jordan. Was my era. That was
all right.
That was
so
my whole childhood.
Fucking, you know, let me tell you something. I don't want to hear any fucking cry me a river because this fucking. Now
hey, I didn't complain about the Bulls.
Talk about hate.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm gonna tell you about talk about hate. Like we talk about LeBron. Now it was the same thing.
Right.
Shit was all good. Now he came into the league 85. Mm-hmm. Now I had watched him in college. He had done the dunks in North Carolina. He made the shot versus Georgetown. He had the fucking sneakers when he came in the league. Everybody loved him.
Yeah.
But when he became a problem for the Knicks, It turned a corner for me, and it was I didn't applaud when he hit 55. I wasn't one of those Knicks fans. You know, Knicks fans, you just appreciate. Yeah.
Nah, they gave it up for him. You were not that guy. Nah, fuck that.
I hated that motherfucker.
You should have.
Hated.
Yeah, you should have, because he did you guys in a lot.
Fucked us good.
Yeah, it was good.
And I never got over how much I hated it. And he knows that we hate him.
Sure. You know who my dad blames? Spike Lee. He thinks Spike is the curse for the Knicks. I think Spike did such a juju thing for you guys that was so negative. I mean,
he made Reggie Miller great. He pushed him over.
Reggie Miller probably the most iconic, like, fuck you ball player in the playoffs I've ever seen in my life.
He pushed him to that other level, that other precipice. Yes. He did that.
But Spike had that thing. It's always funny. It's like at when you're playing ball publicly somewhere, there's always one dude chirping on the side of the floor. And he doesn't really play ball.
That's
he
just likes me. To talk shit. Play, but I don't talk.
But he
I
talks talk shit, and he talks the most shit.
Yeah.
And he usually can't play them. And it always makes one person show up and show out. I think Spike did that a lot. I think that was a problem for the Knicks, man. I think that was his thing. He made people show the fuck up. And
Reggie,
I love him. I respect him. I just
no.
Was
he
like, this
fucking
guy.
Reggie. He fucked us.
Yeah.
He turned that motherfucker into an. He made him.
Yeah. He made him.
He made him. He made him. Pushed him to greatness.
Right.
So for me,
yes, Jordan was my era. We don't complain. The Bulls don't complain. I wish.
And you just had Derrick Rose for that year.
Oh, come on, man. I loved Rose, but I wish he never got hurt. How about that?
Of course.
It was so hard to watch that because he was a hometown kid. We were like, Jimmy Butler, too, was another kid that we loved. You know, a Marquette kid, a local guy.
Yeah.
I hope he does well in his venture out there. He's
Butler?
I like him. But we had these two guys.
Yeah.
We banked on him. And we just never got anything.
The
returned.
Rose thing. I mean, it's good that he sort of found his second half of his career because that shit was dark for a while.
Yeah, it was dark. I mean, listen. Did you ever watch that Nike commercial where it's like a rose grows and right, and it's slow pushing you? But man, that I didn't cry at my grandma's funeral. I cried at that fucking commercial. I was like, I'll cry at that shit.
Yeah, it was good.
But you know,
his MVP acceptance speech was. He was like the first, and that was the last time I think they did it without going, like he was at the locker, remember, and he was crying. Yeah. Now they do the whole ceremony.
Yeah, they make it a big fucking thing, yeah.
But his was so genuine, and he was so emotional, and everything he's been through.
Dope. You could tell he's one of the good, he's a good egg. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of the ones that everyone's proud to have had in the league for so long, and I'm glad he fucking came back.
Yeah.
All right, let me transition right now.
Okay, transition.
You made, because I want to talk about so many things. I want to keep you forever.
No, that's all right.
You made a documentary about
Tribe.
Iconically, one of the greatest hip-hop groups, if not the greatest hip-hop group of all time, depending on who you ask. I'm a hip hop junkie.
Yep.
Tribe Called Quest was my childhood.
Okay.
It was everything to me. I do at the beginning of the show, we had a kid make a beat for us. Right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I asked some of the fans to do a Hot 16.
Oh,
so I'm
going
to play you two. I want to play you two and you tell me which one you like more.
Okay. Okay.
We're going to have the Rappaport vote because you're a hip hop head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you know. So
I'm going to tell you if either one of them are shit.
Well, that's what this is all about. All
right.
All right.
What are their names?
I'm going to play them right now. So the first one, this kid's name is Jarv, J-A-R-V.
All right.
He actually sent in a video. He didn't have to do this, but I'm going to do audio and video.
He went extra, huh?
You tell me right now.
Jarv, J-A-R-V.
J-A-R-V. All right. So ready here. Listen to this.
You asked for it.
Yep.
In here.
And that's our song in the background.
When I'm feeling cheap, I get a bottle of Jim Beam for mixed drinks.
Okay.
When I'm pretending to be a king, I'll get some Eagle and Knob Creek and sip the shit and eat because I'm a man. Yeah, I'm a classy man. If it's bourbon, olive, whatever you pass me, fam.
Uh-huh.
Baker's Mark, Old Crow, Basil, Hayden, Four Roses, Woodford, Bullet, it's all the same shit. No, it isn't, but I still happily have it if you only got some plastic bottle, black velvet cap.
Okay.
Long as Rokon keeps them drums slapping, I'ma keep it sick of Santino cats and a whiff of cap.
That's right.
Egad, man, this shit is hella dope. I'm leaving them C's and eat a prosthetics like Chips Delano with colorful shoes and 3-inch lifts. My favorite MC's from Brim and his name's Chank Smith. Quick, Hollywood, make a movie about me. You could even get Byron Callick to play me, except he's too old and I'm too young and I'm hotter than roofing out in the noonday sun. So just stop, y'all. Call the cops, y'all. I get it popping like a motherfucking pop tart. Ayo, south to the man with the Cheeto colored hair.
Okay.
It's the Whiskey Ginger Podcast, baby, yeah.
All right,
I'm gonna tell you, I fuck with Jarv. I like Jarv's sense of humor.
Yes,
I like Jarv's flow.
Yep,
I even like the way the video was shot.
Yeah, it did a good
like
job.
Like a good color. I fuck with Jarv.
Okay, you fucks with Jarv. All right, I'm gonna give you one more.
With Jarv. Good job, Jarv.
So here's the other thing. Now this kid's name is Joel Frame.
And I'm looking to shit on somebody.
I know. I'll give you one. I'll give you. How about
no,
I give
if
you?
No, if they're both good, I'll get.
It's well, no,
good.
No, dude, we had a million.
I'm sure you had a bunch.
But we got a few that I kind of want your opinion on. Where, okay. How about this? How about you tell them where they went wrong? Let me play one more.
Jarv,
dope one.
I fuck with.
Okay,
keep going.
Okay, Jarv is dope. And then this kid's name is Joel Frame. See what this kid did? I think the best is. He talks about Brian Callen and T-Fac and those guys and Schaub. And
who's T-Fac?
The Fighter and the Kid. Oh, Brian Callen's fucking podcast.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So he shits on Chris D'Elia and all these idiots.
Good.
So this is his thing. This is his like...
Does he shit on him good?
Yeah, well, let me see.
I'll be the fucking judge of what he does.
Ready? Here we go.
What's his name?
Joel Frame. All right, here we go.
Let me see what the fuck this guy did.
In here.
Okay.
We pour.
He didn't even do a video. This cheap.
But I ain't sipping, yo. I'm an alcoholic, man. I ain't sipping, yo. I'm an alcoholic, man. I ain't sipping, yo. But I ain't tripping, though. Check it, yo. You can find me sipping on a San Pellegrino with my man Santino, the illest comic we know. Windy City reppin', serving any sucker steppin'. It's a blessing just to get to answer the question. What is it? Who is the dopest of them all? Not D'Elia, looking like a soccer mom at a shopping mall. With that new haircut, guess what? Congratulations, you played yourself. Then this full of dense Callen, the senior citizen Jimmy Fallon, with his sugar baby Brandon Schwab. It's a sausage fest up at T-Fat K.
Yeah.
I take cat on the microphone any freaking day.
For sure.
Tiger belly super smelly with Bobby Lee's gross feet. I get to thinking he should rethink some things. Go back to playing Tank on Mad TV, calling him for Kalala Man and send her to Dat
I
fan.
Fuck with this guy too,
oh,
Joel.
Man. Then there's Theo Vaughn with sweatpants on, Louisiana repping so his brain ain't on.
Hey, man,
I could gang, go gang. On and on, but that would be wrong. Plus I'm already at the end of the song. But it's no question, it's Whiskey Ginger all day long. Looking forward to when
Joel's
he has
good. Joel's good. He got a good sense of humor. He shitted. He shitted good.
Yeah, it's okay, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, good. So those are the two.
I say the other dude's a little better, but he's good.
He's
too.
Good, right? We had so many good ones. I'm gonna play. So here's what we're gonna do for the people that submitted. We're gonna play. I think a new one. We're gonna pick every week at the beginning of the show. But so Jarv is gonna be our intro and our outro. Because of that shit, because
Jarv's
right?
Better than Joel.
He's okay.
I wouldn't say he's fire, but he's good.
He's good.
He did good.
Yeah, he's
good. He did good, but I did like his video. Like I was like, oh, can you like
the production
lighting
level
was
good.
Production design was.
I think it's also that we got about 50 white dudes and we got 2 black dudes. That's all we got. We got 2 black dudes and 60 white dudes.
But with the 2 black dudes, can they spit or they were trash too? Yeah, so it's
tough.
But if you're able to make it through that many bars, I have to respect it because as much as I love hip hop, and I have loved hip hop since I was 8.
Yeah.
I can't get out of line 1. Yeah. Like I can't write I even that goofy shit like that.
Nothing, huh?
Nothing.
Yeah. What? But don't
I don't know why.
There's no transfer.
Nothing.
Because
I could start. Like I have one line. Like I could come with one line.
All right, let me hear it.
No, I. But I'm saying like I could do it, and then it's like.
Then you're done.
Done.
Yeah. You ever been at a dinner party, and everyone's like, "Okay, let's split the bill," and then your buddy brings out his wallet, and it's like this thick. It looks like a double from In-N-Out. You're like, "What are you doing, man? You got 9,000 credit cards in there. Get yourself a real wallet." A Ridge wallet. You know about Ridge wallets? They're the shit. Ridge wallets are slim. They come in all different shapes and colors and sizes. They look beautiful. Go to ridgewallet.com and get yourself one. Use the promo code WHISKEY. I highly recommend it. They're sleek, aluminum, titanium, sexy, thin. They make you thin out your life, clean out all the garbage from your regular stupid wallet. Get yourself a Ridge wallet now. Be the cool guy at the party. Don't be the dude with the fat, annoying wallet, all right? Go to ridgewallet.com, type in the promo code WHISKEY. If you don't know how to spell WHISKEY, you're an idiot. It's the name of the show. Yeah, but that's why you respect the fuck out of hip-hop.
Oh, so much.
Because you know how deep and tough that is to flow and really say something. Not just fuck. Well, you know,
oh,
some
when
people
you're
just
saying
throwing
something.
Shit. Yeah.
But even with the jokes. But let me tell you talked about the Tribe doc. Did you see the Wu-Tang doc on Showtime?
Yeah, man.
It was really good.
Unbelievable.
It's more like a series because it's 4 hours.
Right.
I loved it.
By the way,
I loved it.
Going back to what we said, you want to talk about nerds. Wu-Tang were like dope, like gangster nerds. They were like gangster. They were the first hip-hop group I ever knew to talk about like astrophysics and shit. You know what I mean? That was the most wild shit to me as a kid was like, man, I don't even know what that fucking word means. I'd have to look up words. Before that, a lot of, you know, rappers, you could follow along with what they were saying all the time, but so
no, they go
times,
in some other
they
shit.
They go so deep, man.
And their vernaculars shit. And their slang and it just, it, I was, extremely impressed. If you haven't seen it, the Of Mics and Men on Showtime.
Showtime, yeah.
4 hours of Wu-Tang, and it doesn't really subside. This shit is...
It's so good.
It's really fucking, really good. And, you know, I'm so glad somebody did it, because when I finished the Tribe movie, people were like, you know, you should do a Wu doc. And I was like, that'll put me in a mental institution.
Yeah, that's tough.
Because nine people...
Yeah, too many guys.
They don't get along all the time. That's like...
Yeah.
You're going...
I think they don't get along more of the time than not. I think more often than not, they don't get along at all.
Yeah. And the film articulates that. It was dope, though.
Yeah, it was deep. When you did the tribe doc, is it because you felt like you had to tell this story, or is it just like some, I mean, what was the impetus for doing it?
I've always been a fan. I've been a fan of hip hop since I was a kid, since I was 8, 9. My father worked at a radio station in 1978, 79, well, before that, but in 79 or late 78, he brought home a promotional copy of the Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang by Rapper's Delight. And he said to me and my brother, it was an orange promotional copy. He said, you guys got to listen to this. It's called rap music. It's going to be a big deal. And that was it.
Damn.
We were done. Yeah. That and basketball and growing up in New York City and the radio and shit. And it's been a lifelong thing. Tribe has always been one of my favorite groups, and when they broke up, and I believe it was 99 or 2001, I'm not good with dates.
Right around then.
I was at their last show, and I had been a fan of theirs for years, and I went to New York to see the last show. I remember I flew into New York, and I had known Q-Tip a little bit, but while I was watching the show, I said to my friend George, I was like, yo, somebody's got to do a documentary about A Tribe Called Quest. And then I forgot about it. And then like 3 or 4 or 5 years later, maybe 6 years later, they started touring again.
Yeah.
And I saw them perform at the Wiltern. And I told Tip, yo, I want to do a documentary about the group. And he was like, do it, do it. And then 3 years later, I started doing it. And then it took 3 years to make it. And Damn. We did it. But I just was, you know, like, and I had no idea the film would turn out the way it had and the drama of it. But I just was such a fan of theirs and... their impact and the musicality, and I didn't know anything about the strife within the group, and I'm just so glad that we got it done, especially with the passing of Fife. So
yeah, man, that's the worst thing in the fucking world. Yeah. That was now tell me this. I know this is controversial, maybe you don't want to say, but who do you think? Do you think it was Tip or Fife was a better MC?
Man, they were. I would, you know what? Because Fife passed, I would never say it. But they were both. They just made it.
You have an investment in it, but I can say it. I think Fife was by far the best MC in the group. That's because I don't have any investment in them.
Yeah.
And as a kid, listening to their albums, like People's Instinct of Travels, and it was just, his voice was so rich. It was so rich. It was, it was so much character.
Yeah.
And when you visualize the 5 foot assassin in my head, and I was like, this dude must be a fucking maniac. You know, I think he painted this beautiful animated picture of himself.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I fell in love with him so much.
He was easy to fall in love with.
Oh my God.
He'd be a great, you know, I mean, he would have been a great podcast guest, because, you know, he's not here now, but he would
shit on himself too, which I love. You know, when he was like a complexion of a hockey puck. Yeah. I always thought that was a hilarious line. I was like,
hide a Muggsy Bogues complexion.
Because most rappers never would shit on themselves.
They were exactly who they portrayed themselves to be.
Right.
They you know, at a time when it was like real thuggish, ruggish, they started in 89. It was like Eric B. Rakim, Cool G Rap, you know, EPMD. So it was, they were like, you know, along with Jungle Brothers and De La Soul, they were like, they brought it to the masses. And they brought that nerd shit in.
Yeah, that was. And those are
also like Q-Tip. And this is my guy.
Yeah.
Like, I love those guys. This is a music nerd.
Yeah.
This guy could talk to you about fucking, you know, like jazz from 1930s. You know, you're like, he'll break the whole shit that he's cool.
Yes.
But he's a fuck, they're music nerds.
You can tell that they're music nerds.
Yeah.
You can see, but just by the way they formulated stuff, you could tell that they were kind of ahead of the game. It's also probably why I think they were so perfect together.
Perfect together.
They were perfect because
their voices,
they were
their size,
so different, man. The scale was, everything was so wildly. Instead of certain groups, you know, I'm not a huge hip hop fan as much as I used to be, because a lot of groups today, I'm like,
they're garbage.
This is
no
not
groups.
My shit. This is not my shit. No, there isn't any groups. I talked about that before.
Migos,
well, there was,
is the only group.
Migos, and they sound identical to me. Maybe I sound like I'm outdated.
Yeah,
no.
There's no groups.
Yeah,
there's one group. Migos.
Migos is the one. Isn't that fucking
whether
wild?
You like them or not? There's one group in hip hop.
Yeah,
that's fucking insane. There's no DJs.
No,
like there's not Eric B and Rakim. It's like not Gangstar was Guru and Premier. you know, Tribe Called Quest, you had a fucking DJ. Yeah. De La Soul has a DJ. Every group, you'd have songs celebrating the DJ.
So that was my favorite. Gangstar was my unequivocal favorite group. I mean, that's my number one group of all time to me. On the list of, like, I just think Guru was the greatest. In fact, I was willing to, like, the moment of truth, I played for my mom, and I knew my mother never really loved hip hop, but I played it for her anyway because I was like, I promise you'll like this. Like, that he has something to say. And I think she appreciated it. I don't think she understood it, but I think, because my parents were always like, hey, this fucking bullshit hip hop, you fucking, it was always on some, you know, because one of my first tapes was like, I had West Side Connection, Bow uh-huh. Down, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I remember my dad, he fucking hated that shit, you know? Because it was loud and rude and fuck you.
Yeah.
And my mom appreciated Gangstar, I think because his melody and his, the way he formulated his rhymes were so smooth, and he had something to say, and he always had a fucking message.
And the music was so dope.
Oh my God, it was fucking beautiful, man.
Yeah, the Gangstar is stupid too. They're fucking
they're one of the dumbest, dopest groups of all time.
They're fucking sick.
Yeah,
they're
so
fucking
sick. So that to me was kind of like they were kind of like the pinnacle as youth, and then I got into a bunch of. Did you ever get into underground hip hop and that kind of shit, or was that never the backpack world didn't hit you?
No, I mean it. Like what? Some of it. I never got into like
Hieroglyphics is kind
of
like.
I got into some of their shit and like, you know, that little spinoff of my man fucking what's his name, Babalina.
Del 30.
Yeah, but they started getting into some way out shit.
Yeah,
like,
he's
I don't like manuals when I'm listening to hip hop.
Yeah, you don't assemble a fucking couch.
Yeah, I don't want like an instruction book. Like I'm down with like you say like Wu Tang. You're like the vernaculars are kind of bugged out. But I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? I'm like, I don't want it to go too far.
Well, Del was off. He was weird.
Yeah,
Del,
but he was dope.
He was dope as fuck.
But then he started going way the fuck out.
Sure,
but I never got like, listen, you know. My hip hop, my taste for hip hop, it's either like it's boom bap, it's funky. You could put the shit on, I could tell you, it's either you're either in the pocket or not. You're either on beat,
right,
or not. Some of these dudes now, they rhyme
off beat on purpose.
I'm not fucking with you.
Yeah, I don't fuck with that either.
I'm not fucking with that at all. Like it's there's certain rules to music,
right?
I don't care if it's rap music, blues, rock. Fucking punk rock, you have to be on the fucking beat.
Right. That's what makes it good.
The fuck is going, like, I can't listen to the beat and you're over here. Like, right. There's different cadences and you can rhyme in between the beat, but there has to be some, like, when James Brown, when this world, if it ever blows up in 300 years, okay, and someone discovers James Brown and you listen to funky shit, the first thing they're going to do is be like, there's no explaining that.
Right, they'll understand right away.
You play it makes sense. That's it. So if it's any other shit, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, you imagine an alien would hear, you look at me, you know what you see. You see a bad mother. Even someone foreign without our language would go, this, whatever the fuck this is.
There's no explanation needed.
Right. They should have shot that into space when they shot that fucking golden record. They should have shot
James Brown. Listen to Jay-Z 300 years from now, they're going to go, okay.
Okay.
Oh, there's
this,
no.
This makes sense.
Period.
Yeah.
So all that weirdo shit and all that offbeat shit and you're not on the beat and. Maybe you have a hearing problem. I'm not with any of that shit.
Yeah, you're tone deaf. I think there's a lot of tone deaf shit. But also, I think that the new generation of it just wants to sound different, right? That's all they want to do. They just want to be different.
I get sounding different.
Yeah.
But you got to be on the fucking beat.
Sure. I mean, well, Kendrick sounds different. Kendrick oftentimes is a little bit, you know, like odd layered in the way he composes music. So he would be someone who's not truly on all the time on beat. He likes
that fucking
shit. You
said it, not me. I got enough fucking problems.
That's true.
Look,
I love him. I fucking love him. But he's one of those non-traditional.
But he's more on beat for the most part. But I know what you mean.
Sure, but he does branch out and try shit.
Yes,
you know, I think more of him is better for the game of hip hop because now
he's dope though,
yes,
and his words are dope.
He's so dope. He is the you know what he is. He is if Tupac was never a gangster rapper. That's what he is to me.
Yes.
If Tupac never became a gangster rapper and wanted to continue to being Tupac, if anybody who knows the history of Tupac knows, he was a genius as a kid. He, you know, he went to a performance art school. He was a poet. You know, I mean, he was quoted at being a young, brilliant individual. People look at him as this thug.
Yeah.
People that don't know. But the dude was a genius. I think Kendrick has the same kind of mindset where he came from a tough world, but He's way more intellectual than people give him credit for that know nothing about hip hop.
Yeah, I agree.
So tell me this now, switching one more time. We've met through stand up. You're hustling now, doing a ton of stand up right now. Are you prepping for something big? Are you working on a big hour or something? Are you just deep in the game? Because I see you now more than ever.
I'm deep in the game. Like, I mean, I have, you know, goals with stand up, but my main...
What is it?
My main goal, my agenda is to get good at it.
Yeah.
That's my first and foremost
goal.
Where
are you at now, you think?
You know, listen, man, I look at fucking stand up, you know, as a craft, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's something that, like, you know, it's such a interesting thing, and it's such a unpredictable, it's such an unpredictable thing, and it keeps you on your toes so much because of the night and your feelings and what you bring to the stage and the crowd and the
right.
energy and
right.
the, you know, and all, you know, and now we're in such a time where, you know, we have popularity because of whatever fame you have or Instagram or your podcast. So people come and it's like, it's a loaded deck. And then sometimes it's not a loaded deck. So just
right.
all that, those factors now,
right.
I like that. And it just, you know, it keeps me, you know, like keeps me sharp. So my goal is to just continue to just be good, to like find out what kind of stand-up I really am.
Right.
You
when
know,
when you were a kid, did you love stand up, or was that not really your thing?
No, I liked it. I started doing stand up like when I first came to Los Angeles when I was 19. I started as a stand up.
Right.
So I was 19. I did it till I was about 22, 23. And then when I started acting, well, the first time I started acting, like the first time I ever acted, the first time I ever read a scene, like I was like, I'm doing this. Like
yeah.
it came more natural than any sport. Any stand-up, like I was like, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
And then I started acting, and I was like, I don't want to do stand-up anymore. I was so young. I was funny, but I didn't know what an act was.
Right.
Like I would get up there and I was funny and
you
I had
just
to
fuck around.
Talk shit, yeah.
yeah.
But now, because I'm older and you know, I have more respect for the craft and I think more things to say and more of an understanding of it, I have more of a perspective. But when I, you know, so I don't remember what the question is, but I love it. You know,
what was your heroic vision of stand up as a kid? Was there a guy
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, Eddie was it, right?
That was my
those leather pants on this.
That one. Was my guy. Like that was my fucking dude. Like I was like, I'm gonna be the next Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, yeah.
You know, and I thought I'd do stand up, and then that would get me into acting. But like Eddie was my fucking dude. But I was exposed to it because I would come out here and visit my sister, and I would see different stand ups throughout
right.
the years. But I would like them. I didn't think I wanted to do it. Like I thought I was going to be a basketball player, but like I said, once I started acting when I was like 20, 19, 20, like I was like, this is what I'm doing. Like
yeah.
this is what I could do. This makes sense to me.
So
like it was like a fish in the water.
When you stopped stand up.
Yes.
What was the impetus?
I retired. It was the famous retirement of 93.
I got to get out.
Yeah. It was a big retirement.
So what made you come back? What made you want to do stand up again? Was there a moment? Was it something that clicked?
You know what it was? It was Bert Kreischer.
Ugh, that fucking
and
piece
Whitney,
of shit.
Whitney Cummings.
Love
I
her.
Did their, they put it in my head. They were like, you should do stand-up. You should do stand-up. I was like, I know, I was thinking about it, you know, and like, I was thinking about it, and they were like, you should do stand-up. You should do stand-up. And then Whitney was like, I'm doing the improv, the lab. Just
right.
come MC for me. And I was like, I don't have no, she just come MC. I said, you can MC. You just bring me up if you need to. Just say Whitney Cummings.
Right, that's
or
it.
Do 5 minutes.
Right.
So I went up and I did like 10 minutes and I was like, fuck, you know, and I was like, I dig it. And then, you know, I came back to the lab and did it a few times. And I know that because of, I have a cachet, you know, that it gives me opportunities. But when you're doing stand-up, I don't give a fuck if you're fucking Leonardo DiCaprio or anything in between. When you're up there, like the cachet is good for a couple minutes. You better make motherfuckers laugh.
Yeah.
They're not coming to hear no anecdotes.
No.
They're not coming to hear fucking non-sequential stories about fucking Kobe Bryant and
right.
shit like that. So I respect that. And I respect good stand-ups.
Right.
And so like I'm enjoying it. Like
yeah.
I like it. And I really like the unpredictability of it.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying about
oh
that?
Oh my God, man. It's been my whole life.
How long have you been doing it?
13 years.
Okay.
Yeah. What you're talking about, by the way, we call the 5 minute theory. The 5 minute theory is someone who has acclaim or fame gets 5 minutes to be funny on stage. And if you can't roll after that, then they're gonna know. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, yes.
There's
yes.
a lot of guys that come that are famous, right? There's a lot of guys that come through the clubs and they're crazy famous, but they don't
yes,
even have a
yes.
comedy background.
Yes.
They're just famous.
Yes.
And then they get up there, and then 5 minutes goes by. After the five, like, oh my God, it's the guy from the fucking thing.
Right.
Then 5 minutes, and they start eating shit.
Yes.
And the crowd fucking lets them know.
Yeah.
It. You feel it. The sinking.
Yeah, you feel it.
And I love it because it checks down people who have an attitude about it. People that kind of come, people that come in brash, that are like, I don't fucking stand up, and they don't really respect the game.
It's hard.
Well, the check down is what everybody needs, because a lot of times in Hollywood, everyone gets pats on the back and claps for doing everything. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's also what I like about it.
Yeah, it's like fucking stand up lets you know, checks you the right way that you ain't shit unless you're shit.
And I love the immediacy of the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, or the ugly. Like, right. I love the immediacy of that. And right. I also love, for me, because I'm still this phase of me doing it, you know, the just understanding, like, I don't know, there's just so many different factors of it, you know, and there's just so many different factors of it. When you look at, like, the great stand-ups, like, it's such a fucking craft. It's like anything. It's like making shoes or fucking shooting free throws or acting or fucking photography. Like, you really, it is a craft, you know? And I love that about it, you know? Right. So, and because you never know what the fuck's gonna happen.
Have you been fucked with yet? Has someone been yelling shit on?
I haven't been fucked with.
Yeah, good. Okay, so it's coming. You know it's coming.
See,
it's coming because people get confident when they get comfortable. And the more comfortable that they get, and the more they
see
you.
Have you ever been heckled?
Oh my fucking God. A million times over the years. But I mean,
I haven't had anybody talk out of pocket yet. Like, I've had people in fun ways.
Yeah, yeah, but it starts to get to a point where, you know, like, you're touring, right? You're starting to tour. You're going to San Francisco.
Sunday.
Right,
San Francisco. Saturday and Sunday.
This weekend, right?
At Cobb's Comedy
Club. Cobb's Comedy this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
That's my first out of Los Angeles gig.
Come see this motherfucker at Cobb's Comedy Club. We'll put links for the tickets in the description and all that jazz. Cobb's Comedy in San Francisco. By the way, one of my favorite clubs. It's sad that Punchline shut down in San Francisco. I don't know if you know that.
Yes.
But that was the other one. But Cobb's is still there. They're good fucking people.
Good.
It's a great venue. It's beautiful. You'll have a great time.
Good.
But that's my thing. It's like, you'll start to see, the more you start popping out of LA, the more
people... They'll talk out of pocket?
Yeah, you know what it is, man? It's because... I mean, are you doing an hour? If you're doing a...
Okay, yeah.
So when you're doing an hour, about 30, 40 minutes in, if you're doing really well and people get comfortable and they think they're in it with you, and, you know, the most beautiful thing that happens and the worst thing that happens to a stand-up is people feel like they're in it with you. That's great. They want to feel like... You want them to be like, it's us.
We're laughing at this shit together. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? But when they get too comfortable, sometimes people want to open their mouth and they think they're adding to the show. I'm adding to the show. Dick Stain, Donald Trump.
I don't mind that.
Right, I know, but you know what? Then you go, yeah, 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 and then you roll into something and then they do it again and again and again.
Right.
And trust me,
that's kind of drunk shit, though, but I'll be honest with you. My wife, like, her...
She heckles you?
She won't even come watch. She's so freaked out by it. Like, she's come watch me twice. But she's like, you know, you say this shit about, you know, this one or that one and Trump, you know, and you know, people, she's afraid, like, I'm going to start a riot.
I
tell her, I go, fucking relax. I go, you know, it's nothing, especially not in Los Angeles.
There's 50 late night shows that talk shit about Donald Trump every night and they don't start riots. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but she's just like, you know.
She thinks you're going to be the precipice of the end of the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Michael Rappaport starts fist fight at Comedy Club. No, because here's the thing. In our world, I've talked about this on stage. People say, aren't you worried about what you say? I always say, no, you should be worried as an audience member what you say in your personal life. I'm a comic. I'm an artist. I'm an orator. I'm allowed to say whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
I can say Donald Trump sucks dick on stage.
Right, right, right.
And then the next joke, I can say something profound.
Right.
But this is what we're supposed to do.
Right.
If a guy... If I go to a guy in the crowd and I go, hey, I'll fucking jizz on your face. I'm just fucking around, man.
Right.
That guy goes does that at his workplace on Monday. Right. See what happens at the water cooler.
I got you.
See if you go up to Jeff and go, hey, Jeff.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Watch him get fucking fired and banned.
Especially now.
Yeah. So for us, I just think the beauty is, and for your wife, it's like, we have this beautiful pass to say the shit that people can't say because of all the bullshit in the world right
That's
now.
That's true.
There's a lot of banishing going on. People are afraid to talk. Yeah.
Do you like that part of being a stand-up now, because you're a shit talker.
Yes.
Like, has that, I mean, in the last 13 years, it's changed. Like, I just started 6 months ago, so I knew what I was getting myself into in terms of the parameters of the, you know, the what you could say, what's not you could say, and the Louis C.K. on stage of it all. I'm not talking about his personal shit, God forbid. But like, you know, like him getting in trouble, or different stand-ups getting in trouble, which sounds so fucking crazy.
It's bullshit. I mean, I as I've gotten more comfortable in my career and gotten better as a stand-up, I felt so much more free these days than I ever have before. And maybe it's a mashing of two worlds of I'm getting stronger and I'm more comfortable, my fan base is growing, that I'm getting more support for being more bold on stage. When you're young, when I was young, I started, you know, I moved out here when I was 22 years old.
And you know, to do stand-up. Yeah, to do that stand-up. That was what you came to 100%. Do. 100%. Wow.
That's what I wanted to do more than anything in the world. I mean, I started acting years and years later, and I've done some things, but stand-up was always... Stand-up was the fucking, was the end-all be-all to me, man. I wanted to die on that hill. I was like, I don't give a fuck if I die broke doing stand-up, as long as that's the beauty of it, and it's paid in dividends. It's been amazing. But I always was worried years ago for so long about, like, what am I going to say? And what are they going to think? And but nowadays, because of this shit, we can say what we feel. Yeah. And guess what? If you either ride with me or you can fuck off.
Right, right. That's it. Or most of the time they won't come. Like, if... Especially when you're on the road, they come to see you.
Yeah, they want to be with you. And it's and LA is different because LA is a lot of touristy shit. So half of the people might know you. Half of the people are just like, we want to see stand-up.
Yeah. They come out. They
just want to see it. Yeah. But on the road, it's true fans out of LA because they really want. Like when you go to San Francisco, man, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it deep that it's like, they really want to watch
you.
And so you might not get a lot of heckling-ass bullshit, but...
I'm afraid of that. Not afraid. I'm thinking the middle of the country that would happen with me.
Yeah, you probably will. Yeah. If you go, listen, knowing your persona online and your political views and beliefs and the way you are, you will, if you go to certain places, they are going to fuck with you, but they also showed up because they love you.
Right.
So they love you, but they may.
And you can tell the tone. Like, totally. I'm all for the, like, you know, I just haven't had anything where it's like, huh? You know, like, I haven't, like, well, you no know, or where I've heard it's like a, you know, like a fucking, this is just like what am I saying? Like, she's put it in my head, my wife. I was at the Laugh Factory once and I was talking some shit and somebody was running to their seat, but they literally were running down the aisle.
Right.
I thought they were running on the stage.
Oh, to get at you.
Yeah.
So you're I was like, what
the you know, because my wife was like, you know, because she's always just like, you say this, you say that, and all that shit. And she kind
of. What is she afraid of the most? Is it the Trump shit? Does she think that's going to make
sense? My wife is just, I need a wife like that. I need a wife, like, she's like LeBron, like, you know, LeBron James is going to beat you up. and the Trump shit, you know, the crazies.
Have you had a lot of people come after you because of the Trump shit? Like online
bullshit? Online they talk shit. Yeah. Not anything where I was like, yo, this person's making me nervous.
Right.
Where it's been beyond, fuck you, snowflake, or you're a loser, or you're fucking whatever. I haven't had anybody where it's like, I felt like, I need to call like a police person or like report it. You know what I mean?
A lot of dudes are embarrassed to tell their friends about what's really going on. Guys don't want to go to the doctor. I know I don't. I think my grandfather never went to the doctor, and that's probably what ended it for him. So instead of going to the doctor, if you're freaked out about that, if you are uncomfortable about what's going on downstairs as a dude, you got some little shortage in the pump system, the pipes aren't working too good, it's all good. Go to Roman.com. Go to roman.com/sipping, S-I-P-P-I-N-G, and you can get a free consultation. They'll throw you some stuff in the mail, secret, private, discreet. You don't got to be embarrassed. You're not going to be ashamed. You can do it from your house. You can still have shame, but not about this. Okay, if you're having some problems with the pipes, go to roman.com/sipping, S-I-P-P-I-N-G, and get some help that you need for your men down below. I've heard some stories about different people. I don't want to call out names, but people that get... stalked and people. Someone said they got someone I know got hacked because of that shit. Because of people, just crazy people. That
I'm not with all that. And it ain't that serious to me. At the end of the day, we're gonna be the ones cleaning this motherfucker's mess up. Democrats, snowflakes, Republicans,
everybody.
Whether it's 2 more years or 4 more years, mark my words. Collectively, we're all gonna be cleaning this shit up.
I say it on stage all the time. I go, whenever like a hardcore lefty or a hardcore righty thinks they're in the right, they're both in the wrong. We're all getting fucked. It's not like no one's winning.
Nobody's winning.
We're all getting fucked.
So
that to me is the funniest thing about all that shit. And I talk a little bit about it on stage, but I don't get deep into it. I don't really care enough to get into this thing with them. I'd rather talk about my world and what's happening. But I do think it's funny that when I do shit on Democrats and Republicans for being fucking arrogant assholes about this competition of one another, they tend to kind of start to come along and go, oh yeah, maybe that is ridiculous that we're all getting fucked by the man.
All getting fucked.
Yeah, so.
This month, we're all getting
fucked.
All of us are getting fucked.
We're all drowning miserably. So I think as you continue on the road and as you keep going, the nuances you'll fall in love with will also be some of the things that you hate, right? The particulars that you'll learn about those moments on the road of like, why did this city and this show love that joke so much and this material didn't go over well? Like, that's, I think, the testament to the road. The road will really check you down as far as like learning the little quirks of a place and why they like certain things and why places don't. You know what I mean?
Now, is it true? Because one time I was doing a podcast and it was in Minnesota or Milwaukee, one of them, and I said something about sports, and it caught me. They were like, started fucking like hissing and hawing, and I was like, what the fuck? And then someone said, you know, politics, but sports on the road, especially for guys, like, watch what you say. It's real divisive.
Yes.
Because it wasn't even like, let's say I was in Minnesota, it wasn't like, fuck the Vikings. It was just like a comment about something, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, here's why it's two-layered for people like us. One, you're an LA guy to them, right?
So, or a New York guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They know you're a New York guy, but they also know you live in LA.
Uh-huh.
So the way that the country feels about New York and LA is already fucked them. And then also when we come into their house and then we say something like, you know, the fucking Pacers can eat ass. You know what I mean? Whatever. It's just like for them, they're like, this New York, LA fucking asshole. That's like for them, that's the ultimate fuck you. Even if you're just fucking around talking shit, I still like to talk shit about the city, about a sports team or something like that. Because if you do it in a clever, fun way, they know you're fucking around. They know you're fucking around.
I just
did,
like, whatever I said, like, it wasn't, I just was, it was like kind of like I was just talking, and then, right, like, I was like, there was like a fucking shift, and I got out of it, but I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, right, you know, I know when I say something like to break balls, but like,
I like to talk about an athlete that left, and I like pretend like they're still there. Man, they get so mad.
Right.
If I go, he's going to be so good this year, people go, oh, fuck that, you. Right. But they're laughing because they know I'm being an asshole.
Funny.
Yeah, they know I'm trolling them a little bit. So they know what they're getting into.
What about the one thing I found in stand-up is the player hating? Because it's a very Nietzsche kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like that shit.
No.
Because also I know that, you know, people... Like, because I know stand-up comedians very well, and comedians are fucking nuts.
Yeah, we're all out of our fucking head.
Like, I mean, they're fucked up, because even when I'm like in, like when I've spent a lot of time doing stand-up or focusing on my stand-up, or if I'm writing something or something comes in my head, like, I'll go, I gotta stop doing this, because I'm like, this is not a normal way. And if this is what you do full-time and you're hard body and you're doing it for years, like, this can make you... nuts.
Yes, you have to step
away.
It's
very insular thing.
Oh yeah, you have to be able to. I always like to say, if a young comic asks me for advice, you know, when a young comic says like, just, and I'm not the prophet, but I always have tidbits that I go, hey, here's some rules. Have a life, because people get in this world where that's the only thing they give a shit about. And I'm like, I promise you'll regret it years later, because you'll be lonely, and maybe you'll make it. But you'll be lonely as fuck, and you won't have anything to do or to show for it, because you'll go, I spent all my time trying to do this fucking thing, and I don't really give a fuck about anything else in the world. You know, like, have relationships and friendships and go do, you know, comics are so worried about being embarrassed. Comics hate being like, young comics hate to feel vulnerable, because they do every night on stage. So in their outside world, they're like, I don't want to look like an idiot or a loser. You know what I mean? They want to make sure they preserve something.
That makes sense.
And I always say, fuck that. Let it all go. Be who you are. Fuck it, you do something annoying. Look, I always love sports. I never stopped enjoying sports, and I brought it a little bit to the stand-up world. A lot of my friends didn't. A lot of them didn't give a fuck about sports.
Right.
So it was just kind of like, I'm still going to meet people and do that thing and have that be my part of my life. You can't just have it be just stand-up, because you see it. And there is a lot of haters.
The player hating, I don't like.
Oh, there's a lot of haters,
I don't
man.
Like it.
Have
I,
you felt it? Has anybody come up to you in the stand-up game?
No one's come up to me, but you could just tell.
You can feel it.
Yeah, yeah, motherfuckers. I'm like, what the fuck is... Yo... And also, the crazy thing is, like, there's room for everybody to get money.
A lot of cake.
There's room for everybody to have a special.
Everyone
there's room for
eat.
Everybody to tour.
Right.
Like, what the fuck are you worrying about me for? Like, I'm just, like, what are you worrying about me for?
Right. Well, that was my whole thing. You know, when, what's her name? Why can't I think of her name? The porn star that went on the road. Donald Trump. Why can't I think of her fucking name?
Stormy?
Stormy Daniels, right.
Did she do stand-up or strip?
She did stand-up, dude. She did. She,
listen,
she,
she's a,
she
she's,
did one or two shows or whatever, but stand-up and the community got mad, and I was like, hey, man, if you think your fans, if she's taking away money from you, you're out of your fucking
you're
mind.
You're fucking crazy.
You're fucking nuts.
If you think she's taking away money from anybody, you
nah,
think
you're out of your fucking mind. Yeah. They go, that, you know,
let her fucking live, man.
Go. Like, fucking
let her
go
fucking
do
breathe,
it. Who
man.
Gives a shit?
You think that she's doing this because she's a fucking Sarah Silverman fan and she's inspired by Joan Rivers? She's trying to fucking make ends meet. She's fucking, you know.
Yeah, she's like, no, man. Yeah.
We're stand-ups were offended by this shit.
No, you know what it was? It was more stand-ups were like annoyed that it was like, oh, why does she get to fucking
fucking relax?
That? Yeah,
well, fucking relax, man.
They got their fucking thumbs in their ass,
yeah,
so they're
fucking
so tight.
You know, because it's like I would never think like this. Like, I'm an actor, right? I'm an actor first. Like, a stand-up oh, he's acting me. Let's see if I would never treat another actor
right
like, oh, he's a he's obviously talented.
Yeah, something worked. Something
what the fuck
worked.
Is, you know, like I don't know. I would just I don't get it. I don't understand.
Have you ever worked with somebody? You don't have to say the name, but have you ever worked with somebody that you thought was going to be great but turned out to be not so good?
As an actor?
Yeah. You don't have to say a name. Nah, but has there been an instance when you're like excited to work with someone and then you work with them?
I've never had a bad experience with anybody I was looking forward to working with.
That's a great thing.
I've never had
that happens a lot in stand up. I feel like there's guys that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see his shit, or like, you know what I mean, or like.
And then when you meet them,
yeah, and I'm kind of like, they're either an asshole or their shit sucks, and now I'm like, oh fuck, I thought you were something else, and I guess like you're kind of this cunty dude, and you have an attitude about shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of stand-ups that sometimes they've been doing it for a long time, and they get super jaded and they're dismal, and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's weird, you know. We all have a little bit of jadedness. Every comic does, but there's a couple of guys. It's never happened in the acting world for me, but. Yeah, sometimes I met some stand-ups. I'm like, oh, fuck. You suck. I thought you were going to be cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought
yeah.
you were going to get it. You know, I thought we were going to be able to play as humans.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah. You know. I've never had it with actors.
No.
Never. I've never had any, especially anybody that, I've never had, you know, I've never had like that nightmare-y thing or like the people that I idolize.
Right.
They've always been either just really cool and respectful or beyond like, you know, like really cool.
Yeah.
You know, like
they
some
go,
of them.
They go beyond it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's like fucking Robert De Niro. I've worked with him twice. You know, it's not like I got to, you know, pick his brain about everything, but he was totally cool with me, totally encouraging while we were working, yeah. totally giving, was there off camera, all that shit.
He's that guy. To he's me, that he's dude. That guy. He is he's that fucking dude. He's incredible, man. So now we're coming close to our goodnight. To our swan song, but
oh,
I
we're singing
to,
now.
Yeah, we're gonna sing at all the right. end. And I know you got a good voice, man. I know you
yes,
got pipes.
Yes, yes, yes.
You got a bunch of stuff coming out and coming up. Is Atypical? Are you doing that again?
We're What's doing that now. We're
okay,
doing
you're
that
shooting it right now.
Season three, which
and
I
if,
enjoy.
And if people haven't seen the show, you're losing it because it's a phenomenal show. You need to check that shit out.
Thank you.
In the meantime, you're gonna be touring a little bit. So you're going to San Francisco this weekend.
San Francisco this weekend, the 18th and the 19th, at Cobb's Comedy. And then I'm going to be at the American Comedy Company in San Diego, June 2nd. Have you've done all these places?
I've done that, but when I go down, I usually do the La Jolla Comedy Store because I'm a comedy store guy. So I go down and do that. That's kind of my that's my loyalty. You know what I mean? I have to do the store when I go to San Diego.
Is there like church and state? Is there like
no? Listen, you could do both,
right?
But it's just like that's my.
You've been there,
yeah.
I got you.
And I'm one of the, that's my spot. Now.
I got you.
So it's just kind of like you. It's weird. You get kind of like linked up, and you're like, that's what I do.
I got
It'll
you.
Happen in different cities. You'll see like there's an improv, and then there's like a Helium or a Funny Bone, and you kind of pick. They don't give a fuck. What
I
you
got
do,
you.
But you start to go. I like this.
I got you.
I like this thing. The way they do this thing is.
I
dope.
Got you.
Yeah. It'll. It's unfortunate because sometimes you'll meet the owners of both clubs.
I'm
whatever,
sure they're all cool.
And they're dope. And you're right. Like, oh, fuck, I don't know. I mean, this guy's money is better, but I love that. I love the way that this guy does this. And
the club, something about the club.
It's always about the club. There's always like you'll go, I like this club so much more, but the money is better at this other club or whatever. That becomes this,
I got
this
you.
Fucking game.
I got you.
But,
so I'm not even thinking about that yet because I'm just happy to be doing the shit.
Yes, it's you're deep in it right now. You're
yeah.
like you're in the thing.
I don't even have any reference points.
No, right. That's what's good.
Yes.
It's raw.
It's yeah,
it's just it's happening as it's
so
happening.
So you could send me like, "Oh, this shithole." I don't like, "Oh yeah, you could take advantage."
Like,
of
"Yeah,
it.
I never heard of this place, Big Toe, Texas, but I guess I'll go down."
Yeah,
to this
I'll go there. There
fuck it.
Go, yeah.
We'll find out.
Because I'm just like finding my things. You know, I'll come back in 3 months I'll be fucking arrogant.
Yeah,
be like,
so
this fucking
mad.
Shithole.
Yeah, you're like, "You know who sucks? Yeah. You know who sucks?" Yeah. I'll tell you. You name all the clubs. So, what is it? What's a website for tickets is what?
MichaelRapaportComedy.com.
MichaelRapaportComedy.com.
Yes.
And we'll put the link in the description.
Yes.
And go see him this weekend at Cobb's up in San Francisco. Friday, when this drops, I'm at the Ice House in Pasadena. So come out and see me in that shit. And then 2 weeks, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I'm going
dude.
Down there. Have you been
Raleigh,
down there before?
Yeah, I've been there a bunch. I got family lives down there. I'm doing good nights in Raleigh. That's the name of the club. It's fucking amazing.
Okay.
I love that shit.
So you've been there before?
Yes, man.
What's a crowd like in Raleigh?
Fun as fuck.
Dope.
But Raleigh's an interesting part of North Carolina, right? Because Charlotte's obviously their, you know, that's the main city. But Raleigh is this big city, small town feel where there's a fuckload of people in Raleigh. But it just has this more down home, you know, it's more people's people, I guess, is the way to say it. You know, I like them.
Okay,
I like them, and I fuck with those guys in Raleigh. Go to MichaelRapaportComedy.com, AndrewSantino.com. I appreciate you. On our outro, we're gonna play another song.
From who?
I'm gonna play one song.
Who's this guy?
This is so far. By the way, we hit up Jarve and we had Joel Frame.
Jarve was number one. Joel Frame was good.
Jarve and Joel Frame. Now this guy.
Who's this fucking guy?
Who's this fucking dude? Let's hear. This is Chase Moore. This is Chase Moore.
See,
you ready?
Chase,
let's
we want to hear him anymore.
Let's see.
In here, we pour whiskey.
And this is a good beat to rhyme off.
Yeah, this is our podcast intro.
Yeah. But this is like, it sets you up. This is like basic. Ginger to my liver twisted like a fidget spinner. I'm seeing flashes and I'm snapping. Nope. The bigger picture. Got the hunger. You would think I'm skipping dinner. Nah. Shitting on these cats. Chase no more. The flow colder than a winter blizzard. You could feel it in your gut like I got your inner gizzards and slip with scissors. He's alright. Slip a middle finger. He's okay. When the beat is on, Theo Vaughn, this shit's a hitter. But I'm with my man Santino. He could do it better. Moving like a Bambino. Okay. Tuscan Raider. My family. Like the same people, we meddling together. Magneto, I understand why they act upset. I'm the last man standing, no backup left. Okay, I ain't seen a rapper man up yet. We just laughing at the act like a stand up set. He should be fucking lucky you're getting played on this fucking podcast.
That's Chase Moore.
That's the, what did you say? The 5 minute rule?
Yeah, that's the five. That, yeah,
that's
the
15 second rule, motherfucker. Crowd is getting restless with you. Chase no more.
Shout out to Joel Frame and Jarve. Chase Moore, I think you got a B minus out of rap. I think
Chase No More got a C plus. the other guy got an A minus, and the other guy got a B plus.
All right,
that's pretty good. You got a fucking A minus.
That's not bad. That's not bad in the school of hip hop from
Rappaport.
Yeah,
that's pretty fucking good.
All right, man. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Whisk.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like that.